my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. Yes, living, dying, let me bring my strength, my solace from this spring. That He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. That He would leave His place on high and come from sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be.
Gather today with an Eastertide litany. I invite you all to stand as you are able. Creating God, you call us by name and call us your own. You give to us the gift of your name. Almighty God, God of heaven and earth, source and ground of all being, God of justice, God of compassion, you give us the gift of your Son, in whose name we find presence and unity with you. Wonderful Counselor, Lord of life, everlasting Prince of Peace, in the name that is above all names, you reveal your divine nature and essence. In the resurrection of your Christ, we receive the gift of new life. From your hand, we receive all that is needed for life to flourish. Grant now that we who gather in worship and praise may live into the name by which you call us. Children of God, disciples, apostles, body of Christ in the world you love. Good morning. Welcome to worship at Abiding Love. It's a blessing to be with you in this place of peace. If you're visiting with us today, we're delighted that you're here. We invite you to share some information with us in the little books that'll make their way up and down our rows, so that we can continue to greet you in the week to come. Let's sing together.
Hope for all the world. Sinner's crown, grace poured out. Son of righteousness, crucified, hanging on the cross, you paid the price. Are saved. from the hopeless for all our days. We rest in Jesus' name. You alone are good, forever true, never far away. We're holding on to you. Only washed away. In Jesus' name, we are rescued, we are saved. For love has come to make a way for us. In Jesus' name, there is freedom for the broken. In Jesus' name, there is healing for the hopeless. For all our days, we rest in Jesus' name.
Y'all may be seated. Savior,
The grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of grace, you call us by name, and you call us your own. Bless us to live into the name you reveal in the one who shows us the way and the truth and the life that is you, the name above all names. Amen. We continue with our readings.
A reading from Isaiah. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a child is given. Authority rests upon his shoulders and his name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from the time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And the word was with God. Psalm 8 will be read responsively. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put them all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. A reading from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, and death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
Please stand as you are able for the gospel.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I invite our young'uns to come forward. We've got a new song today.
How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? L-O-V-E. How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? Love, love, love.
Is that how you spell Jesus? How many of you know how to spell Jesus? Let's be honest. Let's spell Jesus together. J-E-S-U-S, right? But that's not what we just sang. We said, how do you spell Jesus? And the answer was L-O-V-E, which spells excellent. Very good. And that's the thing that we're talking about today. Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, is the name that Mary and Joseph give to their son when he is born. But his name means so much more than that. Just like your names mean so much more than just Graham. Graham could also mean Graham of the black boots who stomps on the tundra. Yeah. Pretty awesome, huh? Yeah. There are ways that names reveal things about us, reveal parts of us that may not be present just in the J-E-S-U-S. So I want to bring up the guy that made this song. Mr. Tom made this song. I want him to talk to us a little bit about how names are not just names, especially when it comes to Jesus.
Yes. This is a song. This is my ukulele. And it's my little guitar.
Little mini guitar. Can you see that?
I make up songs with it. And one of the songs that I've made up was this song, because it tells us about another name for Jesus. And there's all kinds of names, but I think this one is just the most simple way you can say Jesus. So let's sing that name. There's another verse we sing again, and that's the most important for us. Here we go.
How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? How do you
sent into the world, then one of the things that we do in a time like this is very much what the disciples on their way to Emmaus did on that first day of the week. You remember the story of Cleopas and another disciple who's not named? And early on the first day of the week, which would have been last Sunday, right? They're walking along on their way to a place called Emmaus. And as we talked about in times past, this is something of a return to the beginning. Emmaus, as we discovered on Palm Sunday, is a place where this cataclysmic battle happens. It's the last time that the people of God are free in their own land. And there's something about the way these disciples are going back. They seem to be returning to a time, a baseline, or a moment in time when they can at least mark a beginning of their history as a free people. This is what they had hoped for in this one who came among them. This is what they had longed for ever since the time of their freedom in between the testaments. So looking back is something that we do in the Eastertide. We look back and seek to make sense, to make meaning out of all that has happened. And it's been a lot. This life of Jesus has been filled with amazement, with wonder, with terror, with miracles, with acts of incredible love and compassion, and with things that even astound us this morning that we can't even quite wrap our heads around. So looking back is something that they do. And this Emmaus story tells how Jesus comes along the side of them on the road and expresses to them all of the truth of him, all of the revealed truth of him throughout the history of the scriptures. Greatest Bible study ever. So looking back has its value. I find a lot of times that I don't make sense or meaning of my life in the moment. Sometimes, but more often than not, the meaning and understanding for me comes a little later on. I recognize a lot of things in the rearview mirror. I don't know about you. So as we look back, we can delve into these gospel stories of Annunciation, one for Mary, this one for Joseph. Remarkable story about this diligent, righteous, upstanding man who's betrothed to this woman with whom he has yet to habitate and finds that she is pregnant and decides that the right thing to do is not to make a big fuss out of it, but to just put her away quietly, is the euphemism that is used. And yet, he's visited in a dream. He's visited by an angelos, which is the word that we translate as angel in our Christian witness. Angelos is a Greek word. It actually means messenger. And angelos is also a word that's kind of tucked in the center of another bigger one, euangelion. That angelon is in there. And euangelion is the Greek word for good news, gospel. So what we have here is an angelic messenger, an angelos, of good news for Joseph. Don't be afraid. Mary is your beloved. Make a family with her. Go forward as you have planned. And then this angelos begins to reflect on Scripture. We get something of our prophetic writing for today, something of Isaiah's prophecy for today. And we begin to get information in there that we might not have picked up on exactly when it went by us before. Mary's going to bear a child, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's a lot. That is good news, but that's a lot to take in the moment. How much of this is Joseph able to really even comprehend? You shall name him Jesus, he says. These gospel stories invite us into a peculiar depth of naming that takes place throughout Scripture, Hebrew Testament and Christian witness alike. Names are powerful. Names are meaningful in ways that in a lot of cases, take my own name, Brad, as not terribly meaningful for anything other than what my mom and dad named me, unless you consider the fact that it's also a name for a little brass clip that's used to hold papers together. So, and we reflected on that between the services today. Some people took off on that a little bit. It's a unifying thing. They were trying to make me feel better. It brings things together. Yeah. Thank you for that. That's a blessing. But names in Scripture so often have deeper meanings, especially in root language. We're going to name this one Jesus in our English translations of Greek texts where we would read Iesus. And what we would be reading would be the Greek derivation of a Jewish name, Yahushua. And we wonder, you know, if we're going to have somebody of the magnitude that this angel is describing, wouldn't we name him something special? Wouldn't we name him after somebody? We do that a lot today. We name people after other people or events or places. We name people after heroic figures. And it just so happens that Jesus is as well. Because when we move back through that naming derivation, we find that Yahushua is a prominent figure in Hebrew Testament, ultimately an anointed deliverer of God. It's Joshua. The names mean exactly the same thing. Joshua is the derivation, Yahushua, that becomes Jesus, that becomes Jesus in the English translation. And Joshua, as we know, is the one who takes the mantle of authority from Moses when Moses will not be entering into the promised land with the people. No, Joshua will be the one who leads them across the Jordan River and into the place of God's promise. Hugely historic and significant figure in the life of the people. But until we dig into his name a little bit, we don't get half the punch of this. Yahushua is a foreshortening of Yahuwah, which is God, and Shua, which is salvation. Joshua's name, Jesus' name, means God is salvation, or God's salvation. This is the one who will separate people from their sins. This is the one who is the salvation of God, and it's all in his name. If we don't dig into that, we don't get that. We don't get the historic significance of his name. We don't get the magnitude of his ministry that is promised in the words of the prophet and in the words of this angel to this beset man named Joseph. Yahushua, God is salvation. So now we have not just Jesus. We have anointed one, leader, deliverer, salvation of God. When we say the name Jesus, we are saying all of these things. And this is what takes us into this Greek word, onoma. You want to try that together? Onoma means name in Greek, but it means so much more. This name, this onoma idea, is not just B-R-A-D. This is the magnitude, the fullness, the character, the essence of what is named. And when that comes to Jesus and his name, God is salvation, anointed deliverer, Mashiach, Messiah of the people, bringer of God's good news, all of that is what we're saying in the onoma, not just the appellation of Jesus. Does that make sense? I think this is one of a half a dozen Greek words that everybody needs to know. If we are to get at Scripture in its depths of meaning, we need to understand this word. Another one is agape, the self-giving, self-sacrificing version of love among the variety of Greek words for love. Another is purgos, means fire, among the variety of words that the Greeks have for fire. This one is the cleansing, refining, perfecting, purging, purgos, fire. There's a handful of Greek words that if we know them, we connect more deeply with the Greek Christian witness, all of our Christian Testament written in Greek. We get depth and meaning that's not just there on the surface of the page. But there's even more here. The prophet says, the child to be born will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Well, here is another profound revelation about who and what this Jesus really is. This is a manifestation, an incarnation of God in the flesh, in our presence. So now we have anointed one, leader, deliverer, salvation of God, literally, Son of God, God incarnate with us. That's a lot to say in just a word like Jesus. But that's what Onoma's all about. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Onoma, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All of this is this name of the one God sends into the world, the Onoma. And he shall go continually, and there shall be endless peace, another name, for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice, another name, and with righteousness, yet another, from this time onward and forevermore. The ways of describing the effect that this one will have in the history of people, in relationship to one another and in relationship to God, is the onoma that we get in this naming of Jesus. It's particularly important for the angel to tell Joseph exactly what that name will be. Anointed one, deliverer, counselor, prince of peace, bringer of justice, light of righteousness, the very salvation of God incarnate and present with us in the midst of the world. All in that name, all in that onoma. God gave him, as Paul says, the name that is above all others, the name that's above every other name. And we don't get the reality of that, I believe, until we connect deeply with this idea of naming, this Greek concept of name as essence, character, effect. It's not just a hierarchy that makes Jesus a superlative. The name above all names is the way and the truth and the life that this one comes to reveal, the very nature and identity of God, divinity, immortality in the midst of the world. No small feat to accomplish with just a name. Powerfully informs the way we hear our psalmist today. Our Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's not just G-O-D. It is the goodness, the compassion, the forgiveness, the generative creativity, the endless redemption and restoration that is the livingness of God in the midst of the world. That's the name that we glorify. That's the name that we give thanks and praise to, the name that saves us. It gives a whole new meaning to the idea of taking the Lord's name in vain. For a long time, it was the practice, especially among the northern Eloists in the priesthood, to never say the name of God. And when it was written, it was just consonants. YHWH is the way we would transliterate it today. Because you wouldn't want to risk blaspheming or taking the name of God in vain. It doesn't have to do with the G-O-D that we say or don't say. It has to do with the very nature and essence and character. That's what we're called not to defame. Can we hear that? This is the name that we're not to displace or denigrate in our way of being in the world. Names are important. And we're going to spend a little time in this Eastertide. And I invite you to do something we talked a little bit about between the services. Think about your name. And think about, not necessarily what the little card says your name means. Paperclip in my case. Think about what your name means to the world around you. Think about what your name means in the eyes of God. When God looks at you, what does God see? When your name is spoken, what does it mean? And we'll talk more next week. Amen.
Please stand as you are able as we continue with our profession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As a community of faith, we come together in prayer for each other and for the world. Let us pray. Almighty God, your majesty is known throughout the universe. We can see it in the stars, in the heavens, and the many plants and animals and people on this earth. Forever we will praise your name. Your love for us is immeasurable. You have given us all that we have, especially a Savior, Jesus Christ, who has shown us how to live in your ways. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, you know us just as we are and love us no matter what. There are many in this world who may not believe in your love for us, and we pray that you will use us to help them to see how special they are to you, and use us to open their hearts and minds to the love you have for them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, your love for us is so much, and you call us by our names. Today we pray by name those who are in need as we speak them out loud at this time. Today we lift up Jerry Flynn, Cheryl Henry, Steve Kikta, Tina Russ, Rosa Hatfield, Joanne Mock, Gloria Hayden, Sam Collins, Danny Santos, David Fetter, Lisa McNeely, George Timmons, Shirley Shod. We pray for Ross Davis and Edna Davis and all the family and friends of Ross's brother, Jordan Davis, at his passing. And we pray for all who suffer as a result of violence and oppression, and for all victims of disasters and human failings. We celebrate and pray blessings on the marriage of Hugo Bazan and Shaji Jenny Lee de Bazan. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, inspire the work of our partner Austin City Lutheran congregations and surrounding faith communities. Today we remember the people and mission of St. John San Juan Lutheran Church in Austin. And bless the ministry of David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City and all the people who serve with the ELCA Global Missions. And Lord, we ask that you empower all the people in the community of Abiding Love. And today we lift up Terry and Andrea Wyatt, Gloria Woodyard, Georgia and Lee Wood, David, Leah, Caden, Harper and Bowen Wood, and Carol and Michael White. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, there is none like you. Jesus showed us your true nature and invites us to pray in his name. So all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our offerings.
Pastor Bradley.
Love is strong enough to be ours. Do not be
Let's stand and pray together. God of grace, receive these simple gifts as signs of our whole lives offered up to you in gratitude for the gift of new life you have given us in Christ. Bless and multiply this harvest. May it serve your kingdom's purpose of bringing justice, peace, healing, and nourishment to a hungry and searching world. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. With all who will gather, our Lord takes bread. He blesses it and gives thanks. He breaks it, and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body, broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." In the same way, he takes a cup, he blesses it and gives thanks, and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember this name that reveals the very truth of God to us, that calls us, gathers us, blesses us, forgives us, and feeds us in this time. And we pray in the words this one has taught us: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. Those who wish to come forward for blessing are welcome as well. Invite you to be seated. Invite our communion servers and musicians. The ushers will guide you.
are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. By your plans, it's just the way it is. You are not a God.
Bless us in this sacred meal. Your provision for all that is needed and lacking in the world, your redeeming of everything that is broken and wayward in our lives. You have strengthened and encouraged us for all that lies ahead, and you've given us a vision of your kingdom come, where all are welcomed, all are fed, and none go wanting. Pray with me. We give you thanks in the name of the one who rises to make all things new, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We have just a few announcements. First and foremost, Bill Brophy from our golf committee to talk with us a little bit about golf tournament.
Well, good afternoon. If you recall, during the Lenten time, the pastor gave us a number of journeys that were taken. So a week from tomorrow, on May 6th, some of us will be journeying to Onion Creek Golf Course to a chip-in for children. So keep in mind that whether you hook it or you slice it, if you keep faith in your journey, you will find it. So today I'd like to talk with you briefly on the raffle tickets that are available out at the table between Greta and myself. We'll be selling them. They're $5 each. You get five for $20. The raffle will be next Sunday at 1 o'clock here in the church. And this year we split the raffle. You'll have a church raffle and you'll have a golf raffle. The tickets that you buy here are only good for the items that you see out there on the table or listed on the table. And then the golfers can buy their tickets out there, which will have gifts just for the golfers. The reason for that primarily is we didn't want the Tiger Woods portrait to come back to the church again. So anyway, I would like to thank you all for your donations. If you know somebody that wants to play, we still need players to fill in some teams. So give us an opportunity, and thank you again for your support out there today.
Bill, thank you, and all the members of the golf committee. All of the proceeds from all of this activity go to support the ministry of our Children's Center. So it's a blessing for all of the ways that you participate. And know that next Sunday, between the worship services in our activity center, just down yonder, we are going to have a welcome and orientation. This is something we do periodically to provide a lot of information about the church, how it works, ways to be involved, all of those kind of things. And we do this in preparation, in part, for people who will be joining us. So our prospective new members are certainly invited and encouraged to be a part of this. Anybody who would like to know a little bit more about Abiding Love and how it works, regardless of membership, welcome to come and be with us. We ask that you let the church office know during the course of the week so we can properly plan for the numbers that we'll have. And we look forward to welcoming new members coming up, I believe, on the 12th, a week from next Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. Please come and be a part of it. Let Don and the church office know that you'll be attending, and all are welcome. As you go from this place, you bear not only your name, but the name of the one who gives you life. Wear it well. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May God look on you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of
we go forth together. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Please share that peace with each other and any who you meet this week.
I will love you.